ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 9, Text Number 32. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Ityukta sa yadum
vipra. Ityukta sa yadum vipra.
Tam amantriya gabhidhi.
Tam amantriya gabhidhi.
Tam amantriya gabhidhi.
Tam amantriya gabhidhi.
வந்தேதாஸ்தவாச்சிதோராஜ்ஞா. Vipra, the Brahmana. Tam, to the king. Amantriya, bidding farewell. Gabhira, extremely deep. Dhi, intelligence. Vanchitaha, being offered obeisances. Suarchitaha,
being properly
worshipped. Rajna,
by the king.
Yayav,
he
went. Preta, with his mind satisfied. Yadha, just as. Agatam, he had come. Translation: the Supreme Personality of God had said, having thus spoken to King Yadu, the wise Brahmana accepted obeisances and worship from the king and felt pleased within himself. Then, bidding farewell, he left exactly as he had come. Purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sridhara Swami gives evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam that the Brahmana Avadhuta was actually the incarnation of Godhead Dattatreya. The Bhagavatam 274 states, யத்பாத பங்கஜ பராக பவித்ர தேஹ யோகாதிமாபு உபயம் யது ஹைஹயாதய. மெனி யதுஸ் ஹைஹயாஸ் எக்ஸெட்ரா பிகேம் சோ பியூரிஃபைட் பை த கிரேஸ் ஆஃப் த லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் தத்தாத்ரேய த லார்ட் தட் தே ஒப்டெயின் போத் மெட்டீரியல் அண்ட் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் பிளஸ்ஸிங்ஸ். திஸ் வர்ஸ் மென்ஷன்ஸ் தட் யது வாஸ் பியூரிஃபைட் பை கான்டாக்ட் வித் த லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் தத்தாத்ரேய. And similarly, the present verse states, Vandito so archito rajna. King Yadu worshipped the lotus feet of the Brahmana. Thus, according to Srila Sridhara Swami, the Avadhuta Brahmana is the personality of Godhead himself, and this is confirmed by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. I'll read the next verse also because it is the end of the chapter. அவதூதாவஜஸ்ருத்வா பூர்வேஷாம் நசபூர்வஜா சர்வசங்கா விநிர்முக்தா சமஜித்தோ பபூவஹா. Translation: O Uddhava, hearing the words of the Avadhuta, the saintly King Yadu, who is the forefather of our ancestors, became free from all material attachment. And thus, his mind was evenly fixed on the spiritual platform. Here the Lord purport. Here the Lord praises his own dynasty called Yadu Vamsha. Because there appeared in the dynasty many great self-realized kings, King Yadu was enlightened by Dattatreya in the form as an Avadhuta Brahmana, who taught the king to fix his consciousness on the spiritual platform of detachment by simply observing the creation of God. ஓம் அஜாத்திமிராந்தலாக்கியுன்மிதம் தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீகுரவே நம. ஸ்ரீச்சைதன்யா மனோபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। सप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having thus spoken to King Yadu, the wise Brahmana accepted obeisances and worship from the king and felt pleased within himself. Then bidding farewell, he left exactly as he had come. First of all, I would like to apologize. So it was just now who told me to give a class, so it's completely unprepared, so you can't expect much and it'll be short, so it'll save your time as well.
That means you're going to give a nice talk.
I didn't hear that.
That means you're going to give a nice talk.
So here, the first point mentioned here is the Brahman Avadhut is no one else but the Dattatreya. The Dattatreya is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His teachings are more towards Jnana. He is not actually the propounder of Bhakti as such. However, he preaches kind of impersonal philosophy. So I remember Bhurijan Prabhu was mentioning a few days back why out of the Brahman he is giving this lecture, this discourses to us, being Srimad Bhagavatam completely pure. It has nothing to do with Jnana in one sense. It is Amala Puran. It is presenting pure devotion service. It has nothing to do with karma or Jnana. However, we see in the pages of Bhagavatam information regarding Jnana very elaborately. So, Prabhuji was mentioning the point, it is very important. For pure devotees, actually there is no need of mentioning Jnana or presenting the negative aspects of material existence and thus out of fear being fixed in the path of devotion or being in the path of spiritual science. This is a great example given by Shankaracharya, we can say the king of Mayavadis. His teachings, if you see, it is exactly in corroboration with this kind of teaching, that is specifically mentioning the downside of material existence and thus bringing one's mind towards spiritual path. In the Bhajagovindam prayer, Shankaracharya mentions this point. He considers the body of opposite sex as just made of flesh and, you know, flesh and stool and mucus, etc. So he gives, if you are agitated by the opposite sex, okay, you see the body in this way. That is its composition. Think about its composition. This understanding is actually a bit low compared to the understanding that is given by the devotees. Say, Shankaracharya says, Nari Sanapara, Nafi Desham, Dishwa Maga, Mohavesham, Etan, Mamsa Midadi Nidanam, Punaravichindaya, Varam, Varam. That is, just understand the Nidanam. Nidanam means the basis. The basis of the body is just flesh. It's not very pleasant. So understand, whatever we are attracted to from the opposite sex, it is just flesh. And in this way, you bring your mind to the spiritual perfection, to the spiritual path. It is mentioned in Nectar Devotion that this kind of understanding by Gyan or even by Yoga, it is very preliminary. That is good for a start. That is, one can understand, okay, the material world is suffering. We understand, okay, there are, what are the miseries of this world? We understand, okay, there are prime problems which nobody can solve. You know, it's like Janma Mrityu Jara Vyathi. Janma, birth, no one can avoid. Mrityu, no one can avoid. Jara, the disease, no one can avoid. Vyathi, sorry, Jara is old age. Old age, no one can avoid. So, Bhagavad Gita presents Janma Mrityu Jara Vyathi, that's fine. But that in itself cannot bring one's consciousness into the spiritual path. That can so show very clearly the downside of material existence. However, we need something tasty. If there is not anything tasty, then we cannot fix our mind in the spiritual path long enough. For some time may be possible. As it is said, you know, it's like the vairagya out of, you know, the smashana vairagya. You know, we go to a cemetery, you know, people are crying, you know, big, you know, it's a big scene. So many people crying, you know, the dead body is there, you know, 100 people are, you know, surrounding, big crying. And it is said, and sometimes there are even professional crying people also. They come, they invite them just to cry, you know, their money, they get some earnings by out of crying. So, okay, there is a big scene, people are crying, and after that, you know, the ladies are, you know, just fainting and, you know, dropping down. And usually men go to the crematorium and go there, and then again the whole scene, okay, do all the kriya, all the rituals. And after that, once they step out from the crematorium, the life is normal. You know, again we are hungry, or again I have to go to work, you know, the life continues as usual. So this kind of, think of the feeling within the crematorium. People are really sober, they are thinking, they are very concerned. They, you know, talk to each other, they say, look, after all, life is just, that's it, you know, everything is gone. How much work he has done, how much money he has earned, how much trouble he has created for many people. Still, now, nothing is there, everything is gone. Where is he now? No one knows. So, till then, everyone is completely submerged in soberness. However, once they are out, finished. Everything is gone. So why it happens? Because this kind of vairagya, this kind of detachment is not out of higher taste. It is just based on something which is negative. I can't exactly remember, I was reading, there are a few kinds of vairagyas, a few kinds of detachments, or few bases to develop detachment. One is of course this smashana vairagya. And another kind of detachment is if too much of association with the opposite sex, too much of indulgence with the opposite sex can cause some vairagya, can create some detachment temporarily. But after some time, again it comes back. Then another one is, I think, in the garbha, I think, you know, the pain of begetting children, that, you know, carrying child for a long time, that also creates some kind of detachment temporarily. But after some time, that is also gone. So there are different classification of vairagya, there are different reasons to get detachment. But which is not actually derived from a higher pleasure cannot sustain. So that detachment which is caused by bhakti, that can last. So the detachment, the source of detachment should be based on bhakti. Or in other words, it has to be based on higher taste. As Bhagavad Gita says, param drishta nivartante. So, how this param drishta, the higher taste, that can actually pull us from the lower taste. And it can actually pull us from the material entanglement. And regarding this, Prabhu was mentioning a very interesting point. That is, Still, we need Gyan because we are neophytes, or at least many of us are neophytes, and we need to be shaken by giving us the reality of this world, understanding the temporary nature of this world, understanding the suffering of this world. We had to be shaken, we had to be woken up from our sleep. Then, okay, we can actually start with the process of spirituality. It's like when we preach, we don't straight away go into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We don't go into the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. We straight away go into what are the problems of this world. Straight away we give a right understanding of the problems of this world. We give, of course, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. And along with that, we give the understanding, what are the mysteries of this world? We ask generally this question, what are the problems which, you know, which is common to all, we cannot, no one can avoid, and it is, no one wants it. So this is the classification of problem, this is the definition of a problem, the real problem. And then we start, okay, these are the four problems we have, okay, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Then actually the neophyte, the people who are completely in ignorance, they don't even consider them as problems, they actually get woken up. Then they can actually, then we give some more understanding, okay, we are the spirit soul, okay, what are the activities of the soul, what is meant by incarnation, who is the Supreme Lord, what is karma. When we give this kind of information, it becomes relevant to them. Unless and until it doesn't make any sense to them. So we need actually problems. And on a higher level, great devotees, they ask for problems. Though we say, no, you know, we don't want any more problems. We have enough of problems, we are not asking for any problems. But we need understanding of problem first, to start with the spiritual life. Now, here it is mentioned, King Yadu worshipped the lotus feet of the Brahmana. Thus, according to Srila Sridhara Swami, the Avadhuta Brahmana is the personality of Godhead himself. So here we can see this Yadu, King Yadu, what is going on is a conversation between King Yadu and Avadhuta Brahmana. And this conversation has been spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. And before that, who is that? Anyone know?
Navayogendra,
I think so. Is it right? Navayogendra to? King Nivin. Okay. And before that, anyone know? Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit. And before that? Sukadeva Goswami to the sages of Nansaranya. Okay. So we are getting a brief idea of conversations going within another conversation. Alright, so here it's mentioned, Yadu was actually worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that is very interesting. So he got the direct opportunity to be instructed by the Supreme Lord himself and to worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. As it is said, what is the glory of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord? It is, you know, it is so much, so many glories are there for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked this question. That is, what is meant by lotus feet of the Supreme Lord? Because we hear a lot of times, you know, especially if we first come to Krishna consciousness, we also tend to ask, what is the significance of lotus feet? You know, we hear feet, lotus feet so many times. And if you open the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can hear lotus feet in so many different ways. So for instance, the lotus in Sanskrit has got many synonyms. One is Pankaja, Saroja, Saroruha, you know, so many, you know, it's actually, you know, 25 synonyms are there for this lotus. And we can hear each of them in glorifying the lotus, the feet of the Supreme Lord, as well as different limbs of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, what is the significance of lotus feet of Krishna? Why we focus so much on lotus feet of Krishna? So Prabhupada actually quoted this verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was explaining, it was actually, Prabhupada was not well and he was just recovering from the disease. And he had a bit of a heart, where was that? Once he reached in America, where he had a kind of severe problem and the doctor came and, you know, had a look. Anyone remembers where? San Francisco, yeah, San Francisco. So he was just recovering, and then all the devotees were surrounding him, and they asked Srila Prabhupada this question: What is the glory? What is the significance of lotus feet of Krishna? What is this lotus feet? So Prabhupada quoted this verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, it's a famous verse: Samashitaye padapallava pravam mahaspadam punya yasho murare bhavam bhujalvasa padam paramam padam 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 yatri padam natesham. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this verse has a great interesting point, that is the padam, the word padam is used 6 times. And one time vipadam. So 6 times padam is there, and one time there is vipadam is also there. So padam means the lotus feet of Krishna. So what is the significance? He mentioned samashritaye padapallava plavam. So the lotus feet of Krishna is compared to a plava. Plava means a boat. And this is padapallava plavam. And what is the significance of this padapallava plavam? It is only significant to those who are taking shelter. Samashritaye padapallava plavam. Okay, the boat is there. If you are not interested in hopping onto the boat, then there is no significance. In the same way, lotus feet of Krishna is there and it is compared to a boat, but it is important for who takes shelter of that. That is samashrita. And samashrita means it's not just taking just shelter. Sam means, you know, the word sam is correspond to samyak, means complete shelter. So the lotus feet of Krishna is like a boat for who takes complete shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then what happens? Samashitaye padapallavaplam mahatpadam punya yasho mirare. And this lotus feet is mahatpadam. It is great. Punya yasho mirare. The reason is Bhavambuti, we are in the ocean of material existence. So that is the reason. The material world is known as Bhava or Bhavasagar. Bhavasagar means the ocean of material existence, of cycle of repeated birth and death and suffering. So the whole ocean of material suffering just becomes water in the hoof print of a calf. So it becomes just Vatsapadam. So that is the glory of lotus feet of Krishna. That is, the whole material existence is just becoming just the water which we can fit into a calf's hoof print. So it is very easy to cross over such a, you know, small amount of water. And also when we talk about this boat, it is mentioned that this boat we can actually access through the acharyas, through the great devotees coming in the disciplic succession. So when you approach the Supreme Lord through the disciplic succession, that is the unbroken chain of gurus and the disciples, then one can get access to the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like here, King Yadu, he has directly got the mercy of the lotus feet of Krishna. Here we can see there is no spiritual, the spiritual master himself is the Supreme Lord. Just like Arjun had Krishna. And in the last line of the verse, that is padam padam yet vipadam natesham. That actually mentions what is the actual goal, what one gets by worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's mentioned he will get vipadam. Vipadam means a place where there is no question of suffering, where there is no question of kuntha, which is Vaikuntha. So that is the most significance of worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. And King Yadu is doing the same. And he is, next verse as we can see, Avadhuta, hearing the words of Avadhuta, the saintly King Yadu, who is the forefather of our ancestors, became free from all material attachment, and thus his mind was evenly fixed on the spiritual platform. So we can see the result of worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna and obtaining instruction from him. He has actually transcended the material attachment and he could easily fix his mind on the spiritual plane. if we analyze what is the history of Dattatreya appeared as son of Atri. Is it right? Atri. So the Supreme Lord actually appeared as son of great saint Atri to satisfy his desire to give parental affection. So he had this vatsalya ras with Dattatreya. The Supreme Lord is so magnanimous and is so merciful that he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. It is mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a very nice verse. Lord Brahma is praying actually. He glorifies the compassion of the Supreme Lord. How he appears in front of his devotees just to please them in whichever form they like. So it is mentioned, just trying to remember the words. Sambhakti yoga paribhavita hrissaroja asve shrutekshana manasa manuta satetyam yadyatta urikaya vibhavayanti taddad babu pranayase sadanu grahaya. So it is mentioned, you, the Supreme Lord, you appear in whichever form in which your devotee is praying for. It is like devotees, once they perform sadhana and when one develops a spontaneous attraction for the Supreme Lord, there are different forms of the Lord mentioned in the Shastra, in the Vedas. So as one develops a spontaneous attraction for whichever form of the Lord assumes, or Lord comes in that form in front of that devotee to fulfill the desire of the devotees. In that connection, Srila Sridhara Swami mentions that even if a devotee, if he doesn't directly read from the Shastra, however he develops a spontaneous attraction for a particular form of the Lord is so merciful that just for out of compassion for his devotee, he comes in that particular form. He assumes taddat vapum pranayase. He manifests in that particular form, tad anigrahaya, just out of compassion for his devotee. So it is mentioned, this verse actually shows the compassion of the Supreme Lord. He assumes, he allows to be controlled by his devotees only out of compassion. So that is actually the conclusion of why, if you see, in many places in Bhagavatam we can see the Lord is acting just to please his devotees. In 10th canto we can say, we can see in Krishna, after killing Putana, after killing Shakadasur, he started walking. That time, when the elderly gopis, the damsels of Vrindavan, when they ask Krishna to dance, he will dance. When they ask him to sing, he will sing. It is said, Daru Yantravat. Daru means wood. Yantravat means just like a door made of a wood. So the Lord was ready to dance in front of his devotees. He says, you know, it's a kid, Krishna is a kid. And the gopis are telling, okay, you dance, now you sing. So he's just happily he's doing that. This is the way the Supreme Lord is reciprocating with his devotees. You can see how merciful the Supreme Lord is. Just like, it's like Balavat. He's acting just like a baby, just like a boy, and he's happy to dance. And he's happy to, and if they give some gifts, and if they say, okay, I will give you something, will give you some sweet meat, you dance, immediately Krishna starts dancing. And sometimes he's singing. And all the gopis, they were encouraging. So this is one instance we can see how exactly the Supreme Lord is acting for the pleasure of his devotees. Similarly, in Brahma's prayers, Lord Brahma mentions the same point. Ajita Jito, even devotees can conquer the Supreme Lord. The devotees, the Krishna is known as Ajita, whom cannot be conquered. But devotee is mentioned as Ajita Jita, who can conquer the unconquerable Supreme Lord. And here, in the third canto of that verse, it is mentioned, he is appearing in the form in which the devotee desires to see him. So in different places we can see this kind of quality of the Supreme Lord and the ultimate conclusion why the Supreme Lord acts in this way. So the conclusion given by Acharyas is that it's only out of compassion. It is out of sadanugrahaya, just out of compassion to his devotees, to please them. That is the only reason why the Supreme Lord acts as the devotee desires. So here also we can see that Atreya, he appeared as son of Atri and fulfilled the desire of that great sage. It is very interesting to see that even though Krishna is a single person, but he can fulfill the desire of everyone, all his devotees. It's like the same object, the same worshipable object for his devotees can create different rasas to different people. The same person. It's like if we take a particular person, say, we can take Vrishnivamsa Prabhu. So Vrishnivamsa Prabhu, if you take different people have different relationship with him. So I can say he's my friend. You know, his wife can say, you know, my husband. For his father, son. For mother, also son. It's like that. If you take different people, there are different relationships to the same person. In the same way, when you take Krishna, all of us, all these innumerable living entities, we all have got a particular relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is unique. Srila Prabhupada mentions that point in the end of, I think, second mantra of Ishopanishad. He mentioned this point, that everyone has got a particular service, a distinct service to the Supreme Lord, and everyone has got a unique connection to the Supreme Lord. Because we are individuals, and we have individual qualities, and that relationship and that service to the Supreme Lord manifests very uniquely. A very nice example, how Krishna, even Krishna was present, when Krishna was present, how he has been perceived by different people in completely different ways. The same person, but the perception is completely different. Obviously, we also have connection to many people, and how other people look at us is different according to our relationship with them. In Krishna also it is different, but the difference is, one is the intensity of the relationship. This relationship is very, very tiny, you know, it is very shallow, we can say. However, the relationship of all the living entities ultimately to Krishna is completely, it is the highest of the relationship. It is completely perfect and it is very intense. An example I can think of is when Krishna appeared in the arena of Kamsa to fight. So it is said, Rangam Gata Sagraja. How he appeared? Along with Agraja. Krishna came with older brother Balaram to the fighting arena to fight with Kamsa. So the scene is very interesting because there are a different varieties of people. It's not just the Kamsa and the Rasles. There was Rasles were there, like Chanura and Mushtika. Then there were elderly gopis. There were elderly residents of Yadu family. There were different kings. There were his parents. So it was like a big scene. So many different people, and to that particular, and also the gopas, the covered boys. So when all these people were surrounded, Krishna entered to the anga, to the arena. When he entered the arena to fight, he was seen by different people in completely different way. That too in its perfection. So it was mentioned, Mallana Ashini. Mallana means for the wrestlers like Chanura, Mushtika, he was like Ashini, means the lightning. You know, if the lightning is, you know, coming on our head, nobody is very happy and, you know, inviting. It is really fearful. You know, it creates fear in the heart. So for all the fighters, even though Supreme Lord Krishna is the most beautiful, he is the reservoir of all good qualities, and for the devotees, pure devotees can't even forget him, even though that sweet Supreme Lord, still for these wrestlers, he was exactly like the lightning hitting on their head. So fearful. Then for men, he was just like the Naravara. Nrinam Naravara. Naravara means the best of men. So among the men, he was just like the best of men. And for women, for the ladies, Srinam Smaro Murtiman. Smara means Cupid. Murtiman means personified. So for the ladies, he was just like the Cupid personified. That is the conjugal relationship of Krishna with the gopis. So it was, that was the feeling of the ladies present in the wrestling arena. Then Gopanam Swajano. For the cowherd boys, he was just like Swajana. You know, it's like, a mundane example what I can think of is, if our friend is going to, say, suppose my friend is part of cricket team. I don't follow cricket still. He is going to play. So we feel, he's my man, he's my mate, that is Swajana. So even the Gopas were feeling, he's our Krishna. He's going to fight. So Gopanam, Swajano, then who is the next? Asatam Shidibujam Shasta. That is Asatam. For the impious king, Shidibujam is king, Shasta, the punisher. They were feeling, somebody is going to punish us. So they were completely fearful seeing Krishna. We had to understand, he is the most beautiful, his body is tender. Still, they were feeling the fears and their fears seeing Krishna. And Tattvam Param Yogina. That is for the yogis present. So apparently there were yogis also present when this wrestling was going on. So for the yogis, he was Tattvam Param, Param Tattvam, the supreme absolute truth in which they try to meditate their mind upon. So for the yogis, Krishna was just like the absolute truth. Then there is another class of people. That is Pitro Swashishu. Pitro means for the parents. For the parents, he's my son. And what rasa they were feeling. Say, suppose your kid is going to fight, to a big wrestler, and the kid is this big. Then what kind of feeling a mother or father will have for the child? Any guess? Worry, yeah. Protection, yeah, it's close. Protection is even more close. Worry, yeah, that's a part of it. Fear is part of it, but not exactly. It's not just fear. It is mentioned that relationship is actually daya, means feeling compassion for him. How can such a small boy fight with such a big wrestler? So it's actually, this list is actually given by Sridhar Swami. Different, the verses from Bhagavatam, different, showing different people observing Krishna, and Sridhar Swami actually gives a different relationship in which rasa they were actually. So it is, Sridhar Swami mentioned daya, the relationship, the feeling in their heart was compassion for Krishna. It's my kid and he's going to fight with such a big wrestlers, Chanura, Mushtika, what was the elephant? There was one elephant. What is the name?
Kovalya Pira.
And ultimately Kamsa is there. And for Kamsa, what was Krishna? Exactly. For him, Mrityu. What was that? Mrityu Bhojapate. That is Mrityu Bhojapati. Bhojapati is Kamsa. Mrityu Bhojapati. He was just seeing death in front of him. Nothing else. So we can always remember, Krishna is so beautiful. But for him, it was death. So, such a variety in the relationship. It's just amazing. That is, the same lovable object, the most beautiful, the personality of Godhead, appearing as death for Kamsa. And now, there are more favorable people. That is, Vrishnina. For Vrishni, who was Krishna? Paradevadeva Vidido. That is, as the most worshipful Lord. So, the relationship of Vrishni is to Krishna. It is mentioned, it is Saprayama Bhaktika. That is, the loving devotion, the loving relationship with Krishna. So all this group of people are in one spot, in one area, everyone was sitting and they could see Krishna in so many different ways. So this is how Krishna manifests his rasa. The same person, but for everyone, different relationship. But it's not exactly in the spiritual world, because there is no Kamsa in the spiritual world. So this is the past tense in Krishna, in the material world. were different rasas are there, but not all are devotion. Not all are mixed with devotion. Some are with devotion, some is viparita. It is just opposite to devotion. Just like that of Kamsa. So here again we can see how Avadhut Brahman, who is the Tatraya, came as son of Atri to fulfill the desire of parentage, to show parentage in its perfection. So I think stop here. We'll see, is there any questions or comments? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes. 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 Yes.